Alex, you were trying to say something.
It is possible that I was.
I wish
to comment on head knowledge versus heart knowledge, I suppose. When I was looking in verse 18 there, there we have the eyes of your heart being opened that you may know. And the thought came into my head as we're going through this passage. In some ways, it's very easy to know. I mean, the thought that crossed my head is, this isn't that difficult. We're doing a good job of it. And that's when I realized just how bad things were. Because in some ways, especially for us as Christians, it's easy to go through these verses and to say, I know what this means. This is what this means. I can put a definition behind these words. And I'm not trying to bash the Bible study in any way because everybody has brought sincerely. But the things that we're discussing are things that you really can only learn for yourself. And we can only go so far in a Bible study. These things, you take them home with you and you look at them and you look for the Lord to show you these things in your life and you ask him. That's the heart knowledge of it. What we're doing right now is head knowledge, and that's very helpful. And each individual brother is applying his own heart to the subject, but everybody must learn these things for themselves. So that's what I was thinking as I heard all this wonderful discourse on the passage and how well we can bring these thoughts out. It's a lot more than that. The Apostle Paul, there's a reason he was praying this, even as he wrote these words.
So could we add to the list of the treasures that we are enjoying so far? I don't want Satan to rob you from the Bible study. So please pay attention and take it in. He wants you to kind of like wander all over the place, not in the heavenly places. You are in the heavenly places, and he's trying to kind of distract you. Don't worry about anybody around you. Just taking it in. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Don't let Satan rob you from enjoying what God has for you. So sometimes you hear people telling you, you better have a good head on your shoulder, right? You have a good head on your shoulder. He made him head above all things. Now, what does head do? Head takes care of three things at least. So I want you to write these things down. And he is the head of the whole body, the church. So what does head do? Brother Chuck, give them to us.
Nourishment.
Nourishment. Write that down. So when you are hungry, it's not really your stomach that is growling and telling you you're hungry. It's really your head that's telling you you're hungry. So the head, give you that nourishment. It kind of alerts you that you need to eat. And that's what the Lord Jesus does. He kind of say, hey, I'm going to give you some food to eat. That's number one, nourishment. Number two,
Direction.
You don't want to walk like a chicken without its head, right? It's kind of see like going all over the place. You want to have a good head. It gives you direction. It tells you what to do. Decisions have to be made sometimes. Again, I'm making an application. It is a head for the church of God. But you need to have a good head on your shoulder, and you have. It gives you direction. It tells you where to go and what to go. It gives you direction. It's better than a GPS, because the GPS sometimes will take you in the wrong place. That head is in heaven. What is the third thing, Brother Chuck?
Control.
Control. Nourishment, direction, and control. You know, if my hand starts acting in a kind of a strange way, it's not my hand. It's not connected with the head. Nervous system, there is something wrong there. There is no connection. And when I see somebody acting up, I say, oh, something blocks the nerve. It's not going through. The signals are not going through. So the head gives nourishment, gives direction, and it gives control. Treasures that we have them in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a few words relating to what the young man said just now.
There are times where you have to glean. And there's a time when you have to chew your cud. And that time sometimes is maybe after the conference is over, where I have to soak it up now, take it in. And then there will be a time when I chew it, meditate on it. Also, I really believe, as Chuck was speaking on the light of the Spirit of God, that this is the struggle with the Christian. How can I live this Christian life? And Chuck, you have said many things that really sometimes you wonder, all of the things that have been said, you may not be able to understand everything at the moment. But one thing I have to say that has been emphasized, there is power to live the Christian life. There is power, and it is in the Spirit of God. And how do? I think of a plane. A plane needs power to get up. But while it's going on the runway, there's things, there's the various things that want to the gravity, want to keep it down. But the power, the two engines on the side produce that power that allow that plane to soar above all that is there. And you know where the plane is soaring? Up. So brethren, there is power to live the Christian life. And the power is from above, as Chuck was saying. The Spirit of God, a divine person in me and you, and day by day. But I think this is the problem with us. We don't surrender to the Spirit of God and let Him live the life in us.
I want also to respond to that. The saints in Ephesus were in exactly the same place that you are in today. I thank the Lord for Paul's clear teaching. We thank the Lord. Many of us in this room that are helping have benefited from our brethren in the older Bible studies giving clear teaching on these principles of Scripture. But we've enumerated over and over. We can't make you take it home. I can't exercise your heart. I can only pray that God, through the Spirit of God, would work with you, that you might want to say, you know, I need this in my life. So, you know, I'm thankful for clear teaching. I'm thankful for brothers that joined with us to help us bring these principles out. That's not a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing if something is said in such a way that you can understand it. It's the whole crux of Ephesians or 1 Corinthians 14. Sometimes people speak and you can't understand what they say. But beyond hearing somebody say something and understanding it comes meditation. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them, that I profiting might appear unto all. So this is the exercise, and I think we probably should move on. We've got only 25 minutes left.